And I'm a little bit excited to close this series, week four, from what when we started this series, I asked you guys to read the book of Obadiah. And the reason why I asked you to read that book was because on that book, the message of God is for two people, for two different type of personalities, for the one who obeys and the one who disobeys. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you are, you're still a child of God. God's love is so amazing that a lot of people tend to judge things according to the weight or the scales of this world. Because you see one way, different than the other person, division arises in a home, in a business, in church, in your own self. And you see another way, and then you got just dividing yourself in pieces. But in God's eye, in the book of Obadiah, they both are his children. It's just one obeys and the other one disobeys. One is Cain and the other is Abel. They're still the sons of Adam and Eve. You're still part of the household. And so I ask you guys to read that book because I want you guys to go deep on to understand God's message. And I gave you guys in the previous series, I gave you guys Joshua 24. On this one, I gave you guys from the book of Leviticus, the book of the law. Why did I give you this scripture? Because sometimes we as believers, we tend to make our own laws in our own ways of understanding the scriptures. And in occasions, willingly or unwillingly, we cause harm to the body. So I'm going to read the verse that I gave you because this is the closing part of the season that God gave me to share with you. But I want you guys to pay attention today about the defiled things. Okay, because a lot start creeping in. The Bible says when you give a foothold to the enemy, he will tear you apart like a lion, a hungry lion. So those are the creepy things that sometimes we allow things to creep in into our lives. Because I see one way and it's my way or the highway. I'm not going to change. This is how God made me. This is how I am. And this is what I understood. And this is, and this is, and this is. And just letting things creep in. And now instead of building, turning or demolishing. And let me read to you guys this verse 11, Leviticus 11, 44 to 45. It reads, "For I am the Lord your God. You should therefore consecrate yourselves." See, consecrate yourselves, and you should be holy. "For I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." See, because I'm going to be speaking today about the holiness of God. This is the closing of the series, and I want you guys to understand how he's calling you. It's not even a suggestion for you to be different. It's a command. It says in there, "For I am the Lord who bring you up out of the land of Egypt. To be your God, you should therefore be holy, for I am holy." I am the one who rescued you from the ways that you used to be. So you will understand the message of God, the goodness of God, how gracious, how full of grace and of truth he came. He preached first grace. And because by grace you have been saved. And he was the truth. See, he brought you those two elements of being holy. To embrace grace first. Because without grace, listen, I want to read to you in Hebrews. Without holiness, you're not going to see God. When I hear the message of grace, that's what called me to the Savior's love. That's what brought me to him. It wasn't because I was a sinner and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and you better do this and you better do that. It was nothing with that. It was his amazing grace that brought me into tears and broke down. And then when I hear the truth, man, it brought me the convictions. Every time I think on the truth, it makes me very unworthy of being called a child of God. Man, but when I look at his mercy, because his love endures forever. I want you guys to kind of grasp upon what the word holiness, his righteousness, his justice. Seek that first. And you'll see the desires of your heart changing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you today, Lord. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will open our eyes, Father, to see the greatness of God. That you will touch our ears, God, so that we can hear from you, not from the speaker. God, that whatever is read today, whatever is being speaking today, it will glorify and exalt your name, Father. As we praise you, Lord, as we stand before you, Lord, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that not only our hearts be open to you, but our minds of understanding that comes from you. That you will deposit that, Lord, in our minds, what you already have placed in our hearts to be and to become. Let nothing, Lord, from this earth. You pulled us out of the land of Egypt, of the slavery, of having so much rules and so much commands, unto the grace and amazing grace of God, unto your truth, Father. The message that brings salvation, that brings reconciliation with the God, the creator of heaven and earth. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to be on Matthew chapter 9 today. Okay? I want to give you guys the spirit of chapter 9. On chapter 9, Matthew, we found that the Lord, our Savior, our God, Jesus Christ, is teaching us how to forgive and heal others from their distress. He also showed us how radically the ways that he did on the eyes of many of many people, man, by calling the despised people to him, the people that was rejected by others, like Matthew himself, because he was a tax collector. You know, he's doing things that you and I, the religious of those times, they couldn't comprehend. How can you be radical like this, Jesus? How can you call in sinners and sitting down with sinners and with drunkards and all this other stuff? We're not supposed to do that. Guess what? Things hasn't changed today. There's a lot of religious folks who are making the same stance as the Pharisees of back then. That's why he says, unless you surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of God. He also taught us how sometimes religious and confused folks rises up against the servants of God on that very chapter. How he healed the blind and makes the mute speak. But more than anything, how he truly loves every person and how he has compassion towards everyone. On chapter 9 is a very strong chapter for us to read and take upon. Because that's what I just shared with you, that's what you want to learn from that chapter. He wants you to understand that you must be radical. That you must stand firm on that what you have here from the beginning. Right? And how to identify those folks who wants to confuse others. Because of things that they see. Denying the grace of God, the truth of God, because of their own sake and their own points of views. How he was able to go and sit down with the despised guys. Don't go with those guys. You don't deal with those guys. how he was able to talk the mute you speak, and the blind now what can you see? What do you see now? Now you see clearly? See, it's just amazing how when you touch chapter 9 with chapter 8 and 9 of John, you realize how he talks to the religious folks. Now that you see, the sins remains on you. Because they couldn't understand the message of Jesus. So there's going to be in the church and in times, and this hasn't changed. It's just different generation. There's going to be a lot of people who wants to be riding their donkey or their horse, and they're not going to get off of it. Because this is the way that I hear the word, and this is the stuff, and this, and the grace of God, and the truth vanishes. Let's start on verse 35 in chapter 9 of Matthew, to the end. Few verses, but very full of truth. I just give you the spirit how the beginning of chapter 9 starts, and I'm going to give you the end so we can go to chapter 10. Matthew 9:35, on the New King James reads like this: Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. I want you to pay attention to that. And then he preached, right? I shared last time I was with you. Sometimes one thing is to teach, to instruct, and another one to teach. See, the word rebuke is instructing. It's not putting someone in their place. It's telling them, hey, if you go to that path, you're going to get burned. But if the child doesn't want to hear, you just let him go and touch the stinky path. And that's the way he learns. But when you're trying to impose your rule as the father, you do not go to touch that path. Guess what the child is going to do? He's going to go there the more. And then he's going to learn. But when you instruct, people are more attentive to hear you. So one thing is teaching, another thing is preaching. I want you guys to know that. It says in that verse that I was reading, Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. On chapter 1 of John, verse 14 says that he came full of grace first and then truth. In today's time, people is preaching more the truth and grace last. Or sometimes not even sharing the grace of God with people. Because they're more focused upon the truth. They're bringing the hatch instead of the sword. Chopping down bodies. Instead of letting the sword just go penetrating because it's a double-edged sword. It casts out the way in, it casts out the way out. That's how beautiful the message of Jesus is. It's not to cause harm. The sword is being used to reveal that what is in your heart. Because we can put I know how to speak Starbucks. We can put that. I know how to speak Christian. I know how to say hallelujah, amen. I know how to behave in church. But once we step out of the church, sometimes even right after the message, everything we speak just down to the toilet. But listen, one obeys and one disobeys, and both of them are childs of God. It's just one is a little bit rebellious. That's all it is. God bless his king, even though he killed his own brother. Am I saying for you to be wicked? No, not. That's not what the Apostle Paul says. No, by now. Should we continue sinning so that the grace of God could evolve the most? No. We're supposed to be learning. We're supposed to hear the truth and let the truth set you free from Egypt. Amen. From the things of Egypt. From listen, I want to teach you, I want to share with you in Revelations chapter 3, I believe. There is a type of teaching in there that the Lord displeased with. And this is the teachings of the Nicolaites and Baal. Those are the two teachings that the Lord is not pleased with. And whoever takes that route, they're going to have to give an account to God. The rest of them, whether you like it or not, the grace of God embalms them. Whether they live in abundance of grace or not, they love God, loves them. That's why I say earlier, some confused folks who that embrace religion instead of relationship, it causes others to fall, to stumble. The other says in there, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and listen, okay, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So that's why I share with you that when you read the book of Matthew chapter 9, that's what God is going to teach you. Sometimes God is going to, it's not just the physical that he wants you to heal, but it's the internal. In every believer, there's two things working within. The external, which you're supposed to keep an appearance of a godly person, and the internal. But when you focus too much on the external, you are neglecting the internal. But when you exercise the external is going to be a reflecting. Action of what's been done inside. You don't even have to pretend to be Christian.
Amen.
It's just what God is doing inside. Externally, you are who you say you are, who he says you are. And you walk in that in such a way that people will acknowledge not you, but the one that lives inside of you. The one that is working internally. It will be, that's why the prayer of the priest says, let you shine, your face shine upon their face, Father. That's why they used to do that prayer. Or the one that I shared with you guys last week on Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Etah. See, the Lord is one. Listen, O Israel. The Lord is one. God manifesting himself inside of you 24/7. That's how you're going to be able to see the miracles of God. When you're walking in such confidence, you will tell the mute speak. The person who is not listening to hear. Physically and spiritually. When you're walking in such a way, when you're humbling before your God and asking him, Lord, use me. Here I am. Send me. I already know that I'm a man with unclean lips. Nobody has to tell me that I'm a sinner, God. You should not be choosing me. Walk away from me. I'm a man of iniquity. And the Lord said, no, I chose you. Come here. Now you're clean. Then the prophet says, here I am, send me then. Send me. See, that's when we started walking in such a way. Listen, knowing the word, is knowing how to be Christian. You can have all the knowledge of the world, of the word. But where there is no spirit, there is no power on that knowledge. But when you stand on the guidance of God, because that's what I want to teach today. I want you guys to understand the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now he ascended and he sent him, the Comforter, who will lead us to all truth and all life. Even the things that has not been revealed, he will reveal them to you. He wants you to have a desire to seek him. To converse, man, I have a friend in Jesus. He's my friend. And I confine him with everything I have, with the things I'm struggling with. And he will point me on the right path. See, you make a step unto his guidance. When we walk upon our own understanding, we're not listening. We're like the stiff-necked people of the old. Not listening to nobody. We're not listening to the Lord. Because it's my way or the highway. That's a lot of people take attitude in the church. Verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, listen to this verse, okay? When he saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them. When you're listening to the Spirit of the Lord, listen, the desires of your heart are going to change because you're seeking first His kingdom. I came to preach of the kingdom of God. My teachings are about God's message, the grace of God, because I want the kingdom of God be manifested upon everyone that I speak with. See, because the good news is the gospel. There is no bad news. You already know the bad news. You already know that we fail every time we think about. We're sinners by nature. Remember, when I hear the truth, when I hear that grace, when I hear that beautiful voice of Jesus, I already paid for that one too. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. That's how amazing God's love is. Amen. But when we're not listening to Him, we're walking and we're riding the horse instead of riding the donkey. Thinking that we're all that. Because, you know, back then, people who ride horses, people who have the means for it, or are royal some way, somehow. Especially you have camels. I want you to pay attention to this, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. No, like nobody was teaching them the truth. Listen, listen, He's talking and He's moving compassion. And there are always some folks who was of the party of the religious, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, looking at His deeds. Trying to find a way to catch Him on the right side of the law. Or the Mishnah. They were just looking for a spot to accuse Him. Today has not changed. There's a lot of us just looking for you when you fail. So let's see. And He said, He's Christian. He ain't no Christian. He's going to hell. And the Bible said, don't say that. You're not God. Amen. You're not God. You cannot send nobody to hell. Not even a thought, not even a process. Oh, he died without Christ, or he's going to nowhere. That's evil. You don't know. He does. He's God. So we walk in such a way, knowing the truth. Walking, your walk is personal. What about that one, Lord? What is it to you if I leave until I come back? You follow me. That's what He told Peter. He wants individual walks. When a couple gets married, you guys are one. The child like the Lord is one. That's the Bible, what the Bible teaches. So both of you guys must walk on the same walk. That's a command from God. That's not a suggestion. Amen. Listen what it says in here. Verse 37 says, then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. But the laborers are few. Just think about Jesus walking on this land, seeing the old people like sheep without a shepherd, and only 12 of them out upon thousands, revealing what He was going to do with them. It still hasn't changed. Jesus was walking in here and He only had 12 helpers and some women. Ministry is going to grow when people start understanding the message of the grace of God. Preach the truth, yes. Preach, please enjoy and embalm yourself with the truth. But please, please, the grace of God is first. It's by grace that you have been saved, not by works, so that no one should boast. It's by the grace of God that we're walking with Him, that He accepted you with all your flaws and all your mistakes and all your errors, so that when you see another brother making a mistake or an error, you don't throw the dart. you humble yourself and you pray. You pray for the one that you think he or she is wrong. Because when you go and pray, God's going to reveal to you, you know what you are praying for? That's exactly what you're doing towards him or her. So he embraces you. 99.9% of the matters that you're judging, you are in it. They're wrong, how you're wrong by judging them. So 99.9.9, we're in the same boat. Verse 2, it says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Not your harvest, not your field. For I know, Lord, that your agenda is God. And I hide my treasure over there. Because I know you're kind of a strong hand man. See, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because it's his harvest. It is his will. So no one should perish. But all have eternal or receive eternal life. It is his testament. He made that testament for you and I to become inheritors and partakers of that same testament. So that many people could hear the grace of God and come to the feet of Jesus, just the way you did. Come to the understanding of the message of the good news. Verse 1 on chapter 10 says, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And a lot of people will think, oh, we don't have that. Yes, you do. We have that. When the Lord deposits the Holy Spirit on you, he gave you the same command that he gave the 12. It is his kingdom and it's your actions. It is your love and compassion for people that will make the sick get up and the lame walk and the mute to speak. And you will cast them out, those evil spirits. In what authority? Not in the authority that I have, but the one that he gave me about in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave them. Get out. That's a teaching of liberation, but I don't want to go there. But you have it. You have it. It's not just for the, like a lot of people used to teach back in this, oh, that was just for the 12. Then take it off of the Bible then. Why is there? If there is no more prophets, take it out. There is no apostles, take it out. Get a dog and a little razor and tell God that what you said to the apostles, it was not good enough, Lord. That's, when we fall upon religionists, that's what we do. Because we go to the dogma of things. Oh, that, you know, that was teaching some men. If God intended for us not to have him in there, he wouldn't have him in the, we wouldn't have him in the Word of God. Man, if you see, for he who believes in Mark 9, all things are possible. If you just believe. Whatever you're reading here, whatever the Lord is speaking, you can come out and stand on that glory and stand out of God. Pastor, have you seen him? Yes, I have seen him. Have you experienced him? Yes, I have. And it's not that I'm more holy than you. The Bible says, be holy because I am holy. He is in you. You can do this. And for what reason? Because the harvest is plentiful. It's not for us, it's for the kingdom. The family stands. I shared with you guys last week to pray for him. I've been praying for that kid. Why? Because I know that I know how quick the enemy can come in and snatch him back out. But I'm standing on the promise when he pulled me out of Egypt. See, and some more people, brothers, that I've been witnessing and they're turning to God. There's a lot of folks, man. You go out there on the mess of the drunkards and all this other crazy stuff that you don't want to be part of and stand and ask the Lord, please secure my feet because, you know, I used to do that. Secure my feet, God. Let me be the light on the midst of this calamity in here. For almost a week and a half, I've been in tears crying for a couple of folks. Heavy in my heart. I'm not sharing this with you to make me look like, oh, wow, holy memo. No. I am who he said I am. And it will break you when you see the crowds coming and so much loss. I don't think a believer seeing this world dying will not ache. You can walk in line, well, I'm good, I'm working with the Lord, and not have any compassion towards the multitudes. So Jesus says, when he saw the multitudes, he was full of compassion for them, because he has 12 guys looking at him, how to behave. And then when the disciples saw that, he called into himself and says, I'm giving you the power. It's just important, brother, what I'm trying to present in here with to you today, because I want you to walk in such a way that you're gonna exercise. Listen, I'm gonna go back to the team verse, okay? When the Lord says be holy, he wants you to understand that when you were still dead in your sins, he sent his son to die for you. When you were still powerless, not to rescue yourself, he sent you the Savior. And he rescued you. So you don't walk with the Holy of Holies on your head and thinking that your fart don't stink. You walk in humility before your God. You understand who you are and who you are now in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you want to share that love, that compassion with as many as you can, because the time is near. That's, you know, now I'm giving you the next series at the right time. Yeah. And he never loses the control. He's always in control of all what you see on this planet and on the planets above. His power and might. Listen, I was telling my wife, listen how big my God is. My Bible teach me that the earth is a footstool to my God. Yeah. That's how big my God is. So any little problem, he already has supremacy. Even among the living and the dead. Because how big my God is, just imagine how big the planet is, my brothers. And to him, it's just a footstool. I walk with that faith. Point number one, Jesus is letting us know how, by the guidance of his Holy Spirit, we all will be empowered to become passionate for the word. You're gonna be empowered to become passionate for the word. You wanna make a difference? You cannot do it on your own, brother. You can go to every seminary, and you will die on the seminary. Until you die, you will not be born again. And do you understand all scholarly, everything about God's word? You will not die to yourself. But whoever loses his life, will then be found. Upon the grace of God, he put a seal on you. See, he wants you to understand, he wants you to become passionate for the word, to cast out any internal uncleanness and external uncleanness, healing hearts to share compassion towards everyone. He will teach you those things. Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 2 to 15. And I'm going to read to you. I shared this with some of my brothers already about the names of the apostles, because I want you to hear this. It's amazing how God said orchestrating things. I was telling some boys, listen, brother, in the body of Christ, we need them all. We need the religious one. We do need the religious ones. We need the Pharisees. We need the Sadducees. We need the compassionate ones. We need those ones who just share loves of God. We need those ones who just focus on the grace. We also need those ones who just focus on the truth. In the body of Christ, we are many bodies, many members forming one body. Why do we need them? Because in that, the Lord is instructing. If the Lord wouldn't be giving, we would not know sin for what it is. So now we know sin for what it is because the Lord was given. So now we're lawbreakers. So now we know that we're sinners. Without the Lord, you would not know the compassion of God. But when the sin was to the fullness, God said, you know what? Done with that. Let me send this. And I'm going to throw Moses. And I'm going to give him the law. And I'm going to give him instructions how to live. And now we have a law to follow. But now we're not longer under the law, but under the love of God. See, the law was fulfilled upon his love and the one he loved. All the commandments and the decrees of the law were placed upon him. I was telling my wife, the right translation, when a lot of people quote the scripture, okay? And by his wounds, we're healed. You know what says on the ancient writings? By his wounds, we have been saved. It's salvation. And people use it to heal people. Man, you cannot be covered unless you're under the coverage. First, you can carry an umbrella, but you don't open it. You still want to get rain, water, you know, wet with the rain. But once you open the umbrella, the rain doesn't hit you no more. You can carry the Bible, but you don't open the Bible, there's no coverage. You just wait for somebody to let me use my umbrella over you. Let's go, brother. That's not how things work. You have to have the coverage. Verse 2 says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. We need them all. We need them all, brothers. You see how beautiful Jesus treated Judas, knowing that he was going to betray him? He didn't treat him any different than the other 11. Just the same. But he never lost the control. This must happen, Father, so all things could be fulfilled. We don't understand God, brothers and sisters. We don't fathom why God has to do this. I was telling my wife, who can counsel the Lord to tell him, you know, not like this, God? I was telling my wife, it's like a little grain of sand tell the ocean, I'm so powerful, Lord, big ocean, that I tell you to stop right here. Little grain. That's how sometimes we are. It's God who told the ocean to this lane, you don't go over. But the sand is thinking that we go vast ocean and we stop it. We try to make God to our size. When I just tell you how big God is. It's amazing how God started pouring upon people so that we can stand on this message. I give you those names, and I'm going to go to the next verse because I got to share this with you as well. He called his disciples. He named them by name. I want you guys to pay attention to that. He called you by name. Satan will call you by your sin, but God will call you by name. But go rather to the lost sheep. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. Okay? Check this out. Why, Lord? Why are you just sending it to them? Listen, he had compassion for the house of Israel. That's why the apostle Paul says salvation belongs to the Jewish guys and then to the Gentiles. Why? Because it's a son who obeys and a son who disobeys. But both of them are sons. I want you to kind of go deep into this because I want you to understand. It's not that he's selecting people. One is safe and the one is not. No, he has a plan for all things. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, saying, I don't know how to preach. This is what he says. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And elaborate from that. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Hallelujah. Then give it back.
Amen.
I'm giving you the power, Memo, to preach the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is near. Angel, please don't go with today without receiving Jesus. I want Jesus. Why? Because when you preach the kingdom of God, the hearts, the Spirit of the Lord touches people. And the people comes to the Lord. Because you have to elaborate. You are the salt of the earth. Season it. Let it know. Anything that you might have a similarity with him, share that I was their brother. But listen, the goodness of God, the Lord Almighty, encounter me. Man, he is real. He wants you to be part of his kingdom that is about to come. See, I'm just elaborating on my evangelical gift. Because I'm an evangelist, though. I've been telling you guys for quite some time that you guys receive all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All of them. You just had to exercise them. Verse 9 says, provide neither gold, nor silver, nor copper in your money belts. That's why I took you guys to the or kind of paraphrase the teachings of the Baals and the Nicolais. I found very interesting that there is a period in that verse, on that part of the verse, on 9. Why? Because to me it means a lot. When somebody has the ability to do things, they hardly ever give the glory to God. They said, tomorrow we will not go to this town and we're going to do this and that. And we're going to invest in here and we're going to invest in that. Instead of saying, if the Lord is willing, same thing. Tomorrow we're going to go to that town. We're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to invest in this and that. If the Lord is willing. But when people doesn't want to go here to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we just go with our own donkey. And we don't want to get off. We don't want to spend time in prayer. We don't want to spend time with the Lord. We don't want to open the Word because I already know that verse. I already know the whole Bible. I was telling my wife this morning, I had to print another set of papers because God changed my message. This very morning. That's why we were a little bit late. That's how God works. You don't open the Word. You're not compassionate to open the Word. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to start doing things on your own. Says verse 10 says, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. He's going to send you. He's going to provide for you. He has called you. He has selected you. Come and utilize your gifts. Don't sit on them. Please, whatever it is that God is staggering your heart, get up and do. Just do it. He will take care of it. Verse 11 says, now, wherever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy. Who are you going to inquire? You guys see that, right? Inquire who in it is worthy God. Get what he's going to tell you. Yeah, you just was in that side of the town before I called you. You see why the meaning of holiness? You cannot judge. Even for the sins of the wicked, he died and was roasted the third day. And stayed there till you go out. In other words, don't ever give up on people. Inquire who is worthy, don't ever give up on people. Doesn't matter how stiff-necked or religious or evil or worldly or whoever the case might be, don't ever give up on people. Stay there until you go out, until he calls you home. In other words, the next part of the scripture says, in verse 12 says, and when you go into a household, greet it. Don't curse it. Greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. You're my representatives, you're my 12 apostles, and I want you to understand this. If someone doesn't want to receive you, don't fight. I'm still in control. Guess why? Because sometimes you're going to be the one reaching the one I couldn't reach. Let your peace come back to you. Don't say, oh, he died and he's going to hell. Because he didn't receive the Lord. That's how a lot of people take the scripture, misunderstanding it. Let it come to you. Because God is going to have someone else reaching that person. You just planted the seed. Boom. Don't say it in your heart. He didn't give the light to the Lord. Therefore, he's going to be lost. That's what the Bible is teaching in there, brothers. You go out and you pray and you inquire and you continue praying for those folks. And when they get saved, you rejoice with them. Whoever was the person who were able to reach it or reach him. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust of your feet from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. If he's condemning, no, he's telling you, I am the one who's going to judge that, not you. I am sending you, and you obey, and when somebody doesn't receive, when somebody doesn't, you just go out and say, Lord, my labor, this is what they used to do before entering home, you guys. The people will take their sandals, and they will shake it to enter to a new house, or to the house that they were sent. And the servant will come and clean their feet. I want you to understand this on the contents. Shake your sandals, because I'm sending you someone else. You cannot enter the other house thinking on the other guy, he was so mean to me, because your heart is not going to be pure. And the love will grow cold on your heart. And you're not going to be, you know, representing him in the righteous way. I want to share with you. Let me read again now. And verse 15 says, assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Tyre and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. So I want to share with you how the Lord started orchestrating these 12 apostles for us, for our enjoyment, for our blessing. The name of Simon means he that hears. I have shared this with you, and I want to repeat myself once more. Simon has two meanings, but in this one I want to put he that hears. Andrew means a strong man. That's what Andrew means. James means a supplanter. Also has two different meanings on his name. or someone who takes the role of, for someone else, like kind of Jesus did. Yon means grace by God, or graced by God. That's what the book, the name of Yon means. Philip means warlike, a person that is ready on fire for war. Bartholomew means a son that suspends the waters. Thomas means twin. Matthew means gift of God. James means substitute. That's the other meaning for James. Thaddeus means one that praises or confesses. And Simon means one that obeys. That's why I ask you to read the book of Obadiah. Judas means the praised one. The praised one is the one who betrayed him. I want you guys to hear that. Therefore, any compassionate believer is one who internally and externally hears, obeys, becomes a strong man who takes the place of others to serve everyone by the giving grace of God, who is ready for war against Satan, to give water to the thirsty twice, presenting it as a gift of God, and substitutes the punishment by changing their sorrows for praises as they obey and confesses Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their lives and bow down before Him, praising the Son of God. That's why I ask you to read the book of Obadiah, because of this. You become a strong man. You read the Word of God, and you start sharing the love of God with as many as you can, because the kingdom of God is at hand. We are limited in time for us to be, oh, because she didn't make the beans properly, so I don't like her no more. I want to divorce her. Oh, the rice was nasty. I'm going to shake the sandals on that door, and I go to the next house. I'll find myself another one. That's, come on, guys. When you become a strong man and knowledge on God's word, this is what I'm going to read to you next, because I want to share it with you. This is the closing of sincere love. Sincere love is full of compassion for everyone. Sincere love. Not just saying because the Lord is in you, I love you, brother. Go well. Get yourself fed. God bless you. And don't do nothing for anybody. Two, listen, I was telling Mark yesterday, this is what I do behind the scenes. And I don't want nobody to know it. This is between me and my God. But for, because you're asking, this is how my week went. I serve God wherever I go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know who I was, and I know who He made me now. I received the grace of God, and I embraced it. And I want to share it with as many people as I can. Right now, I was asking the Lord, that's the next series, because I was asking the Lord, Lord, what's going on? I'm getting tired. Too much hours at work. Why do you have me here for? I've been praying for almost 9 weeks, this prayer to the Lord. And He gave me, it's okay, at the right time, and I never lose the control, and I'm dwelling on that. I'm waiting for His guidance. See, because you cannot just go in the flesh and do things upon your flesh, because whatever you saw from the flesh, you're not going to read nothing good, brothers. Let's go to Hebrews. With this I close. Give me 4 more minutes, and with this I close. Hebrews 12 to 17, and then 25 to 29. 5 verses first, I want to read on, and then I close it, because the 25 to 29 explains the rest of the chapter 12. and this is the encouragement, because when I ask you to not to let no creepy things, He's going to read it in here, you're going to read it in here. It's people who, the creepy things is the things of the flesh. That's what I want you guys to think about. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, verse 12, on chapter 12. I love that verse, you guys. When I'm struggling, you see, I just shared with you all these weeks. I've been praying and I've been, Lord, you know, listen, okay? That's why I opened the Word of God, because it will renew my strength. Therefore, strength the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated. Hallelujah. Lord, what's going on with everything in my spiritual walk, in my family, with everything, Lord? If you continue on that route, Memo, you're going to dislocate my members. You're going to chop them down. You're going to bring the hatchet and like a butcher. That's why when I share with you that I was crying, I did cry. I cried when God gave me instruction, because it touches my heart. I've been preaching about sincere love is full of compassion towards everyone. And I'm over here praying to the Lord God, please. I am in charge, Memo. I don't want any little creepy thing to come upon you, because the way that you'll see your brothers and your sisters, don't let that come in there and change your path. Make your feet go the other way. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm pouring my heart to you guys today. And it says in here, pursue peace with all people and holiness. Listen, okay? Wish without no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace and holiness. Be holy because I am holy. Do not judge your brothers or your sisters. Walk in love. Pursue peace. Let's check your sandals and let the Lord clean your feet. He's the one. He bowed down before the 12 when he was in the Lord's prayer and the Lord's supper, and he washed only their feet, because the whole body was already clean. Don't become one who washes their feet to spill innocent blood. For then the Lord also died. That's sincere love. That's unconditional love. Listen, pursue peace with all people and holiness, which without no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Looking carefully lest someone, I don't. You guys, I just hope that you guys are getting this. I feel it inside of me so powerfully. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Don't let anything defile you. I am holy. Don't let your ways cast everyone to the highway. Be humble. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Isa. I'm still in the context from the last time I preached about asking about Obadiah. He was the lady was still working about Isa or Edom, which is another name for Isa. The Edomites, who for one more self of food sold his birthright. What am I saying in here? Just check that out. Be holy because he's holy. Don't fall upon this. Pursue peace. Be holiness, because without the holiness of God, no one will see the Lord. You already are in. He's not telling you about you. It's people who are supposed to get saved because of your testimony. Amen. No one falls short of the grace of God. I'm preaching grace and then the truth. Listen what it says in here. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance. Listen of it. One who obeys, one who disobeys, staying in the context, I am he, I'm the one who's going to judge. But you just read a memo. Still, at the last day, he will separate the sheep from the goats. That's what I read. I'm going to stay with what is written. I'm going to go deeper than what I know. I cannot fall upon my understanding. And all the ways I'm going to acknowledge him. You guys hear that? See, that's the way we're supposed to walk, but we like, we're so dogmatic, and like, that's the right, nah, get out of my face. This is in here. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Oh, let me finish that. He was rejected because he didn't find place for repentance, though he saw it diligently with tears. I leave you that one just for you guys to dig on. God is always at work. He never loses the control. He doesn't want no one to perish, but all to be safe. He's the one who is doing these things. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven, or the heaven. Now this yet once more indicates that the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. When we do not see what God is doing, when we see a brother who was only in repentance with tears, when we see that God is at work, listen, there is a song that we sing, if you're not dead, he's not done yet with you. That's the God I serve. That's the God of the grace, of the gospel of grace. When you see somebody that is only being remorseful and in tears, guess what? I pray for that man or that person so that God will give me another opportunity. If I cannot bring him unto the Lord, maybe you're the maybe you will bring him to the Lord. Amen. That's what it says on that contents. So once more he's gonna shake all things. He's shaping you, he's cutting down what is not of for the thing that is going to be. That is not gonna be shaking or move, they're gonna remain. And here's what it remains. Listen, 13 of 1 Corinthians, which is the greatest of this. See, these three remains: faith, hope, and love, and the grace of this is love. I'm just being cautious with you so that we can understand the message of Jesus, so that we don't fall upon our own understandings. Listen what it says in verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, hallelujah, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is consuming fire. It's purifying you, purifying those ones who are in tears, purifying. Listen, as long as you have bread, or anyone has bread in your family, in your friends, on your workplace, whatever the case might be, as long as they're still breathing, God is working on them because of your faithfulness, because of your obedience to serve the Lord with the grace of God. Now with your own understandings, share God's love with as many people as you can. Come and be partakers of his love and compassion. Go ahead and obey your God and share his love with as many you can share him with. That's the message in the closing for sincere love. Loving sincerely is you, listen, sometimes we walk with the bell. We see, but we don't see clearly. But when the bell gets removed, then you see clearly. The message of God is of reconciliation and salvation. It will never be to condemn. He will be the one doing that. I pray that you guys enjoy this series, because the next one is going to be at the right time, and he never loses the control. Amen. Amen. God's been shaking my fist with that one, so I'm just longing to stand before you and share what God is pouring upon my heart in that regards, because he will never ever lose the control. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we stand before you, God, that we will just bow with humility, God, to understand, God, that you are holy, Lord, that even when we were still doing wrong things and still what we're doing right now, God, and what we're thinking and reasoning upon, Lord, you are in control. You are tearing our hearts and you're touching our minds to be transformed, Lord. Not to be conformed no more to that what we have here and so many things, but to be transformed upon your righteousness and your holiness, God. May you bless and be upon all my brothers in here today and those who are listening, Father. May you fill them with your Holy Spirit, God, and bow down before you and say, Lord, I am sorry. But here I am, God. I know I fall short of your glory very often. But renew me, Lord. Give me another opportunity. Make me who you want me to become, Lord. And prepare the path, Father. Prepare the path for anyone who wants to walk with you and wants to obey you. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.